Good evening. The time is 5 p.m. The Warwick Finance Committee is now open. We'll begin with acceptance for the minutes of the committee meeting held on April 18th. May I have a motion?
Favorable action.
Second.
We have a favorable. We have a second. All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Thank you. Minutes are approved. We'll now move into the bid PCR 52-22. This is bid 2022-031, purchase of automated side loader refuse vehicle. Hi, Christy.
Good evening. Oh, that's better. Public Works is requesting to increase the award for the purchase of the automated side loader vehicles. This request is to increase the current award from $992,604 by $604,896. This will allow us to purchase two additional side loader vehicles that are brand new. They'll be delivered within 90 days once the body company receives the chassis and are sorely needed by the sanitation division.
Thank you, Christy. Any questions from members of the committee? Councilman Gebhardt.
Thanks, Christy. Thanks for bringing this one to us. So how many vehicles did we have on the road today?
We had 13 on the road today.
Wow. A recent record. That's good. We'll cheer for that. And so this would bring us to tentatively 15.
We still have some vehicles that are still out of service because of needed repairs. So it would give us a full complement of front runners and then allow us to have a couple of spares for either breakdowns or maintenance.
Okay, got it. And I think you said this in your intro, but I couldn't hear you very well. In terms of delivery timeline?
90 days from the time that the body company gets delivery of the cabin chassis.
And do we know anything about the lead time on the chassis?
They're already built and they're ready to be delivered, just waiting on a purchase order from us.
It's Christmas in May. and one of the things that's been a hot topic, we had a young man visit us a couple weeks ago talking about preventative maintenance. It's been one of the hot topics. So I don't know, could you just take us through what you all do in terms of preventive maintenance on these vehicles?
Well, typically they have to get greased. They're supposed to check their fluids. They're supposed to check their tires and, you know, the main components. And obviously things do break down. That's been a little bit difficult as of late, obviously, because these trucks have been running, some of them 16 hours a day or more. We acquired these books. They are going to be on there. We'll be able to keep them on a much more regular maintenance schedule. We acquired these books that the drivers will fill out. They'll go through their vehicle. It's a carbon copy. And then one copy will stay with the vehicle. One copy goes to the garage so they know what needs to be addressed or there's any, you know, issues that need to be taken care of immediately. If they need to go to the tire place to get tires or... So it puts the ownership on the driver as well as the garage to make sure that these vehicles are maintained.
Okay, got it. Thanks. And then I think one of the reasons that these are down sometimes is that loading arm. Anything we can do proactively on those?
Yes, the arms need to be greased for them to function properly. That's fallen a little bit by the wayside, but we have someone now at the, when they come in for fuel, greasing the arms, checking that whole system to make sure that everything is as it should be.
Okay, great. And then in your opinion or in the opinion of anyone in the department, is there anything that we're not doing yet that we could start doing, or you feel like we're on a good track?
I think that what we've had to push a few vendors over the last few weeks for the vehicles that we had out being repaired, not in our yard. But I think that you know, the ownership with the drivers, some of them have come in on Saturdays to do the maintenance that they would need to do. The automotive garages have both been working nonstop on these vehicles and working overtime as well. So especially Saturdays, they come in so we can catch up now. And then, so we have 13 on the road today, so we can stay ahead of it.
Great. Thanks, Christy.
Thank you, Councilman. You're all set? Thank you, Councilman. Any questions from the council? Councilman Lattiser.
Thank you, Chairman. Hi, Christy.
Hi.
Christy, following up on Councilman Gebtot's question about the fact that there's the chassis, the cab, it's like ready to roll right now. It's just a question of putting the body on it. We have two different things here in our binder. We have one from your department saying that the cab and chassis are available and only need to have the body installed, which is what I understand the case to be. But yet, in a letter that's attached to this, it says, right now, Ballard has two chassis scheduled for production this year. These will be used for Warwick. When the chassis will be built is an unknown right now. Is the position of the department that the chassis and the cabs are ready, we just need to put on a body, and within several months we're going to have a new truck? Or is it trumped by this comment right here from Ballard?
So that conversation was approximately 2 months ago. In a verbal conversation I had with the sales rep, he said that they have two cab and chassis that they were holding for us.
Okay.
Pending us getting approval to purchase. The body companies also stated that once they receive the cab and chassis, they guarantee 90-day turnaround to get them back to us.
Great. Okay. So they gave you that guarantee. Okay.
Yes.
Christy, in here it also says, this is from this Jim, I think it was sent from Jim Richards at Ballard Truck. It says, the only way we can make the pricing work is for the city to not require a performance bond. Do we typically require a performance bond when we're buying new vehicles?
We do. So when we purchase vehicles, the vendor has to provide a performance bond because obviously they're building a vehicle for us. The reason they don't have to provide one is that we are already holding their bond from the last purchase, so they don't have to go back to the bank and rebond the money, which takes a little bit of time. Well, so we could essentially, with this contract that we're increasing the cap on, we could issue a purchase order because we don't have to wait for any of that other paperwork to come in.
I know in my world what a performance bond does and includes. But in this case, with purchasing a vehicle, what does a performance bond include? What does it do?
Well, it guarantees against the failure of the other the vendor to meet the obligations of the contract.
Okay. So if they don't deliver a vehicle, if what we get is not what we ordered, et cetera, et cetera.
Correct.
Okay. Again, to follow up on Councilman Gebhardt's questions with maintenance, you said that you now are doing a book, or the drivers are doing a book. When did that start?
This just started, I want to say within the last week or so.
Okay. And what is included in that log again? This is a daily log that each driver does daily and submits to whomever when they come in at night. Is that it?
Yes. In the morning they have to do it before they take their truck out. But it speaks to basically every part of, and I mean, there's some stuff on him that doesn't apply, like a fifth wheel, but you know, the battery belts and hoses, the brakes, the lights, the, you know, fuel tank horn, all those safety things that are supposed to be working, as well as, you know, if there's additional things. And then, of course, they can. There's a spot for them to write in, you know, if there's anything that's not listed on here that they need.
Is that report, is that reviewed by someone daily before the truck goes back out on the road?
The automotive chief would get these. Well, the sanitation supervisor would get them, and then the automotive chief would get them. If there's any issues that need to be addressed that are, you know, for any reason that the truck can't be out on the road, they would hold it back and address that before the driver took it out.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Chairman. That's what I have. Thank you, Christy.
Thank you, Councilman. Councilwoman Travis.
Follow up on Councilman Lattimore's remark about the book. So prior to that, we were not doing a check on the vehicles?
We didn't have
a log?
Yes, we didn't have something in writing. The drivers would check their vehicles.
Okay, I thought everybody had to have some sort of a safety log on the important parts of the vehicles, you know, brakes and lights and that kind of stuff. I thought that was automatically being done.
They do check for those things, but it's not, we didn't have something like this before. It was usually just a piece of paper that could have ended up.
Thank you.
Thank you, Councilwoman. Any other questions, comments from members of the council? Members of the public? Questions, comments, members of the public? Please identify with your name, sir. One moment. They're going to make sure the mic is on, Phil.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Want me to repeat it?
Yes, please.
Philip DeCoro, Ward 4. Thank you, Council President, Finance Committee members, and Council members. I'm here tonight, and I just heard the report from the DPW. That started with the driver's logs, which is a good start, but not really enough. So I'm here to comment on bid number 2022-3031 for a side loader refuge vehicle at, I believe, over $700,000 on the May 2nd City Council agenda. As a Warwick taxpayer, I feel compelled to express my opinion on the spending of my tax dollars. With the millions of dollars spent on equipment for all our city departments, we must ensure that a robust and detailed preventive maintenance plan be developed and implemented for said equipment. This will ensure that the equipment will be operational when needed, and its life expectancy will be achieved. As part of this opinion, I have submitted to you a sample preventive maintenance plan for our vehicles. I sent this to all of you. This plan was drafted by Frederick Potter, a concerned taxpayer resident of Warwick. It needs your review and your implementation. I, as a Warwick taxpayer, recommend that with each equipment bid approval by this city council, it must also include the requirement that a preventive maintenance plan exists, either internally or externally, as part of the purchase. This plan must be in place and executed at all times. I will also volunteer my time to work with the City of Warwick to develop and implement a robust preventive maintenance plan. Please add this to the May 2nd City Council meeting records. Thank you, Fred Potter, for sharing. Thank you, respectfully, Philip Durkle, Sr. Thank you all.
Thank you, Mr. Durkle. Are there any other questions or comments from members of the public? Please identify.
Rick Casella, Ward 1. First of all, thanks, Mr. Durkle, for your, and I'm sure the cities will be glad to have you in the city yard helping out with deferred maintenance. As part of the deferred, I guess I'll call it a log book or log page, is it a one-person process where the worker walks, the technician walks around the driver, around the, checks so, off, yes, no,
Mr.
Yes.
Casella, just for point
I'm
of
not
order.
Looking the right way, is that it?
I just want to make it clear. I just want to be respectful. Yeah, yeah, yeah. When all questions asked of the citizens of the on a point in a bid, be asked through the chair
I'll
of the committee.
You. Okay.
Thank you. Yes.
So you, all right, you have the answer then.
Thank you.
So will that be just one person will walk around the truck, take a look, check off yes, no, maybe, or you know, needs attention in the next 48 hours, whatever. Is that what that's going to be? Oh, you look to her then, and she, I get it, okay.
It's the driver that is taking the vehicle out on the road that will do this check. And then if there's any issues, they'll notify their supervisor, who will notify the garage.
So, if you don't mind, I'm going to...
You can tell me now what she said.
She said it's, yes, at the end of every, correct me if I'm wrong.
Before they take the truck out.
Before they take the truck out. So I'm going to follow up with the question. What about when they return after working it in the day?
If there's any issues throughout the day, they obviously report them, and you know the garage will make a note of that on like their repair order or whatever. So they don't do the second walk around with the booklet, but the next morning whoever takes that truck out has to do the same thing. They have to do the walk around. So if there's anything that the driver the day before missed,
it'll show up the next morning.
It should, yes, it should be noted the next day. And then, they try to keep the same driver with the same truck for the most part. Doesn't always work out that
Understood.
Well.
Understood. So the answer to the question is that they would do the PMCS prior to going out.
Yes.
And when the truck is returned in the evening, it waits until the next day when the new driver or the assigned driver before they take it out again.
Correct.
Thank you.
And sometimes it's just something simple as like, you know, if your light bulb out, it's a, you know, 10
sure.
minute fix. So, this will certainly just allow us to have a better maintenance schedule for our vehicles.
Thank you. Please. Thank
no,
you.
I didn't know if you were going to tell me what she said.
Oh, you didn't hear?
I wasn't paying attention. I was looking at you. No, but I guess really what my question was, is it just the one person that goes around? And I don't mean to suggest that anybody's just going to be like, check, check, check. Let me get out of here. I want to go get my coffee or whatever. But rather, is there something that maybe this evolves into something that is it's video where someone walks around with somebody or even for a training thing. But also there's been in the past, we've talked about GPS on some of the vehicles and how there are savings in other towns and cities on fuel, et cetera, et cetera. Is this maybe a precursor to something like an electronic tracking so that you can keep better track of the mileage, opening doors, closing this, opening, I'm sorry,
so
I mean to look at you.
I would encourage for us to stick to the bid. I understand what you're asking, but I would encourage us, this is about the purchase of the vehicle.
Not about
that
the test, the little paper.
It's about the purchase of the vehicle on this
okay.
bid.
Okay, then I have nothing important to say then. I'm sorry. I didn't mean
no
to
problem.
Waste your time.
Thank you. No waste. Thank you. Are there any further questions or comments from members of the audience?
Mr. Chairman?
Councilman?
Yes, a follow-up question for Christy. Christy, on that report, when the driver turns it in, as well as when the mechanic or whomever reviews it, does both the driver sign off on that document as well as whoever the person is overseeing it?
That information I don't have. This is new to our department. There is a spot for a driver's signature and a mechanic signature on it, so I would imagine that, yes, it would be identified by both parties to whatever issues need to be addressed.
Well, I would think that would make sense to have someone in authority signing for these, certifying it. So if any problem develops sometime during the course of the day, someone's aware of it. So that's why I was just looking for an answer to that. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman. Any further questions? Thank you, Christy. Bid number two is 2022-334, site investigation and remediation of Mickey Stevens Sport Complex. Ms. Director Kravitz, good evening.
Good evening. So in your packet, what you see is the results of an RFQ process that staff undertook to try to secure a contractor to execute a grant that the city received a couple of years ago now. It was one of the first things I tackled when they brought me in, was to try to get this off the ground. And so I worked with DEM, and we got the grant agreement from them. That's in your packets. Clearly got all the tasks that we want to tackle by the city. And really what we're going to do is through the Mickey Stevens Rec Committee and working with the environmental professional, is really kind of outline a way in which we're going to redevelop Mickey Stevens in a manner that's affordable and environmentally appropriate. I guess that's the best way to say it. So the project will take the better part of a year and a half to complete all the tasks. And then at some point in the future, during this process, we'll be going out to bid for a site contractor to actually execute most of the work, which is the funding is going to be related trucking, you know, soils to the landfill. So if there's any questions, I'm really here to try to answer them.
Thank you, Ms. Kravitz. I'd like to say that this was something that, you're absolutely right, has been addressed for a while. There's been a lot of talk about Mickey Stevens. We understand that the Truckaway landfill, some of the issues of documentation and record keeping of what was brought there, and this will help remediate that. I do feel obligated to say I got a personal phone call back in, I want to say, October of last year, or I'm sorry, a year and a half ago, from Speaker Sikarchi, who also worked diligently to make sure that this grant, and this is 100% grant funded, came in. And I also, of course, without wasting time, got together directly with Director Wiley, and we started planning for what we plan on doing there. We're always hoping for the best. So this is an exciting project. This is good, and I'm very excited about it, that we're moving forward on this, not only for what the future of Mickey Stevens can be, but also to ratify and remediate the environmental concerns and issues in that area.
Real quickly, just because it was mentioned, please. The money, the grant is $419,000. And when you right. say 100% grant, there is a 20% match by the city, about $83,000, that the city would have supported when they submitted for the grant. So there is some city match required.
Right. Oh, then yes, absolutely. Thank you. Council President McAllister.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. No, I just want to point out Chairman Howe's work on this. I know that Mickey Stevens is an important and close project that the councilman has been working on since he's been on the city council, and this is a big part of it. We want to make sure that we upgrade, but we want to do it in a safe way so future generations can enjoy that complex. You know, we grew up playing baseball and basketball there. We want to see future generations doing that as well. So I just want to take a quick second here to just thank the city and the councilmen for their work on this, and I look forward to as it moves forward. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. President. Any questions for members of the committee? Councilman Gebhardt.
Thanks, Director, for for coming. This, I agree with everything my colleagues have said about the this being a good project. One part I just wanted to ask for your guidance on is it's on page 11 of 11 in the document under match note. And it says it's about halfway through. It says the grantee also understands that there will likely be other DEM required remedial elements included in the RAWP that would therefore normally be eligible for reimbursement, but which were not included in this proposed scope and reimbursement schedule, soil, stockpile, et cetera. In consideration of these additional, and then it goes on to talk about the 20% share. So can you just...
If we could clarify, it's page 24. It's page 11 of 11 of the bid, but it's page 24 in the bid package.
That's right.
Thank you.
Do you see where I'm at?
No, I'm on page...
Of your packet, it's page 11 of 11. In the bid package, the complete bid package, it's page 24.
It's Exhibit C, budget payment schedule. It's the, I think it's the last.
Oh, yeah. I got you. This is the Exhibit C. Right. This is what DEM put together for us. RAWP, actually, it stands for Remedial Action Work Plan. And so what that is it's kind of in the name, right? It's something that's approved by DEM based on additional soils testing and how the site is going to be reused. There are costs associated with this that, depending on what type of complex you want to have there, what you want to put where, the RAWP is going to dictate that. And the cost of this place, you know, depending on if you want a stadium there or a soccer field, or if you want a certain area to be pavement, parking lot, depending on what it is, the consultant's task is going to be to try to really let us have an understanding of what it would cost to put the certain features on different parts of the site, depending on what the soils and the wells are telling you environmentally. So I think what they're trying to say is, we know that we're going to have to bid construction part of this at some point, and we're not going to know exactly what those costs are going to be going forward. All they can try to do is predict what the costs are going to be for the consultant that we're bringing on board, and they're trying to project tasks based on what the consultant's going to do. But even within those tasks, item 1, 2, and 3 on this Exhibit C, see how she's got grant amount, 105,000, 160, 153. We can shift those numbers amongst those tasks. And we won't know that until we actually sit down and interview the consultant. So DEM is trying to give us, they're trying to build in flexibility basically for us.
Okay. All right, got it. Mm-hmm. So basically this scope includes sort of like a baseline of remediation. And then depending on the type of use that we see for that, we may have to do additional tasks based on.
Right. Right. They're projecting a certain amount of, based on the SAR site investigation report, based on, they're trying to predict quantities of fill that's going to be trucked out. And you'll see a large part of that budget is trucking that material out. But if you decide as a city, you want to have a certain field in this area, that may require more fill to be trucked out. So we want the environmental consultant close with us to tell us, we don't want to be going down the wrong road, yeah, expense-wise. We want a nice recreational complex, but we want something that meets the needs, but also is within a reasonable budget.
Thank you.
Thank you. Questions from the committee? Questions from the members of the council? Councilman Lattisor.
Thank you. On of the 20% match from the city, approximately $83,000, has there been a line item identified where that $83,000 is going to come from?
Not where it's going to come from. It's a match from the city. It can be cash. It can be a combination of in-kind to the extent we can do that. But as far as where in the city's budgetary, you know, identifier, right. I'm not sure.
And this $83,000, I'm assuming, will come from the 22-23 fiscal year?
I'm not sure. That's really a question for Peter. I just know that when they applied for the grant, that city had to show that it would put up the match. You're right. I mean, I guess if you applied for the grant then, 2 years ago, you're carrying that number forward. It should be reflected in this year's budget.
Well, it needs to be reflected.
Has to be, yeah.
Because we need to know where the $83,000 is coming from.
Right.
And is it coming in this fiscal year? And if so, what line item? And if it's coming from next fiscal year, what line item is it coming from? So how do we get that answer?
I think during the budget process, it certainly is going to be accounted for. I've been putting together information and documents for Peter recently, and what we're doing is trying to capture all of these working grants that we have and identify the match for them. And so you'll certainly see that as part of the capital budget going forward in the next few weeks, really, next couple months.
Mr. Chairman, I believe Peter's here. Could we have him comment on that?
Mr. Schaefer? For clarification, Mr. Lattiser, Councilman Lattiser, could you repeat your request of Mr. Schaefer? Thank you.
Yes. Hi, Mr. Schaefer. So it was just stated that the city would have to come up with a 20% match. It's the equivalent of $83,000 change. My question is, a couple parts of this question. One is that $83,000 going to be coming out of this fiscal year or next? And whichever year it's coming out of, what budget code or line item is that $83,000 going to be coming from?
Well,
if you wouldn't mind just speaking into the microphone, I'm sorry.
When Christy reviewed the two new trucks, and if you look at that communication, we're going to be using ARPA funding, and they were a little premature. I would have hoped this would have been a month later because the budget will be out then. We're definitely going to be using ARPA money for that. And for most of these grants that we're talking about, we have a lot of money, and we want to make sure we pledge it. And that's going to be my identification of the resource in next fiscal year.
Okay, so the answer to my question is the $83,000 is going to be coming from ARPA funds?
The match part, yes.
Okay. So essentially, in addition to the grant, the $83,000 isn't going to be coming out of taxpayers' pockets either.
Well, not local taxpayers' pockets.
Right. No, I understand the grand scheme of things and, you know, how Washington works. And ultimately, yeah, you know, in your payroll, you're paying for taxes. I get it. But I'm talking about property taxes that we pay here in Warwick. This site investigation and remediation, which it's a great thing. I know it's been certainly a topic of conversation for many, many years. I also remember former Mayor Solomon had shown us some architectural renderings and had done a presentation or had someone do a presentation for us for his vision for the Mickey Stevens Sports Complex, and I must say it was extremely impressive. Is that something that has been reviewed with you and your department? And that vision that was presented to us back then, is that something that is part of the goal for Mickey Stevens?
It's certainly the goal, but that was an expensive project. And so one of the things we're really doing is putting numbers to that vision to see what realistically we want to purchase. Mm-hmm. But that was ambitious.
Well, I think that's important to, you know, keep on the radar screen, because I know there was not only a lot of time put into that, but there was a lot of money spent in coming up with that proposal, which, again, I don't recall the exact numbers. I know it was certainly expensive, but it was also very impressive. So I'm glad to hear that's something that will be on the radar screen and as part of this computation for what's going on here. I think, to follow up on Councilman Gebhardt's, and you may have spoke to it and I may have missed it. Could you clarify on item 2 and 3, the site work investigation I'm pretty clear on, but on item 2 and 3, tasks 2.2, could you elaborate a little bit more as to what those two tasks are?
Task 2.2 is they have prepared 2 soil disposal applications and 4 clean fill certifications, including stockpiling, clean fill soil sampling analysis. So one of the things they have to do, the environmental professional, is actually do more soil testing as part of the site investigation report that was prepared some years ago now. So though that task is specific to that activity. It's got a subtotal of 15,000. 2.3 is contractor monitoring / remedial action work plan compliance and oversight, assuming 6 months. Yeah, this is the part that I was talking about earlier, where they're assuming 25 weeks remediation at 3 times per week, 8 hours a day. That's their oversight. $600 of compliance monitoring, including round trip travel costs, $76,000. That's their time to oversee that effort. And I'm scrolling down a little bit because what that's essentially talking about too is section 3.2, certifying the import of clean fill for capping purposes. It's presumed that we'll have enough money in this grant to do that. And they're assuming 2,000 tons various fill material at an average cost of $21.93 per ton delivered, as well as the disposal cost above that, right? You've got the disposal cost going to Johnson, 2,000 tons at $85 a ton. So these numbers are the things that are subject to change for obvious reasons based on the cost of even sure. fuel, you know? So
sure. Thank you for that. I know we all had that in our binders, actually on page 23, but I appreciate you going over that a little more in depth for members of the public who are not always privy to the information that we have in our binders. So thank you for that. I appreciate it. I'm all set, Chairman. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman. Other questions from the council?
I'd like to say, just to explain the process, is this is the first step. There is a committee already put together that, or a small group that we are monitoring this with Director Wiley and myself. And the first phase is to get this area remediated. Once that area is remediated, then we can move forward and say, okay, what's ideal to be used for? So, but this is the first big step in a long time to get Mickey Stevens addressed. Comments from members of the public. Comments, questions from members of the public. Yes, and I just want to clarify now from Mr. Casella and yep. for everyone else, if you don't mind. We run under Robert's Rules of Order, and Robert's Rules of Order, when a committee is running, the committee has the floor, if you will. And so as the chairperson, you'll hear a term such as through the chairperson. And the reason for that is just to keep everything in order and in a civil discussion. So it's not necessarily that I want you to look at me and talk. It's that you explain the question to me. They hear the question. They answer the question. But everything is understood. So it's through the committee that is handling the discussion. Thank you. I appreciate
it. Thank you for the clarification. I appreciate it. Rick Casella, Ward 1. I had a couple of questions. When you say 20% matching, I think it was, is our 20% part of that total? Are we getting 400 and change as the grant? And then our other 83,000 is additional monies, or is it all part of the same 400?
I'm sorry. I just asked a question of my DPW director.
You said that we had a grant. You thought it was free money, but we still have 83. Mm-hmm. Is that our 83 part of that 400, or we get our 400 then another 83? My question, I think, Mr. Chairman, is that if we don't need the other 83, are we off the hook?
Yeah, the way the grant reads is DEM will award up to that amount, and we must reimburse 20% of it.
Oh, so it's a reimbursal. After we're finished, we send our share back, whatever 20% of that number is.
Right.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Secondly, you're talking about, number one, you talked about Councilman Lattisaw through the mentioned plan that Mayor, God bless his soul, Mayor Solomon put forward. But it sounds like we really couldn't implement that plan until we know the constitution of the soils, because what he may have wanted to put the snack bar, that could be not a good place for it based on the pollutants or whatever is floating around over there. So I guess initially my question is kind of a criticism, unfortunately, but it sounds like we spent a lot of money for a plan that we really can't implement until we know what was under the ground. And my guess is we didn't know what was under the ground when the plan was put forward. So we may have to go right back to the drawing board on that plan based on the soil results. Mr. Chairman?
I would say that I can't speak for, obviously, and I won't speak for the former mayor who put that together and the prior planning director. I will say that we have the land. It's been addressed that it is going to be remediated and addressed. We got the grant and we're moving forward. So we're like this right here is the starting point.
Okay.
Of moving.
So what we did before doesn't matter at this point until we go. Can we get the remediation done?
I wouldn't say it doesn't matter, but what it. Oh, I'm sorry.
It matters to me as a taxpayer.
No, I'm asking you what doesn't matter.
The fact that we have a plan that is invalid until we know what the deal is with the.
Well, the way I see it is like everything. It was a proposal.
Okay.
And therefore, it's now. This is the starting point to remediate the land. Then we can move forward.
I guess my next question, and probably most people who've had children play on that field, the fact that we need to do a environmental testing and a remediation that's going to include or involve 2,000 yards of cap fill and removal of this. I don't want to sound like an alarmist, but have the kids been playing on a polluted field for all these years? Because we built this thing, 20 years ago? My question is, you understand my question? It's now we're remediating. We're looking for pollutants in a piece of property that's been used for years as a recreational area. Were we remiss in the beginning, or is this something that you have to do
I'm not going to speak to the level of exposure depending on contaminants, which I don't know there. I'm not an environmental professional, but I don't know. Couldn't tell you where the kids were playing and what duration, what their exposures were. Couldn't speak to that right now. I do know that, like Mr. Lattice has said, that plan that we have, that's already been shared with the committee. That is going to be the front and center plan that we're looking at with the environmental consultant, saying, okay, here's what we wanted to do. If we were to do this, where do we test? What are we testing for? What's, cost effective? How much maybe do we have to move things, or what comes out of this plan? That plan is the guide still. That's really what we're trying to achieve, but it is ambitious. That's all I can say,
But this is an old dump site, so it's probably, no matter what we did there, we'd have to get a new environmental report. So I understand. And then you mentioned a committee that you have that's overseeing or kind of keeping an eye on what's going on over there. Is that a formal committee that you set up, or is it just a local group? You said something.
I use the word committee for clarification. It's not necessarily a formed committee. What it is we are looking at ideas and ways of utilizing Mickey Stevens, but obviously it's a small group of discussion, learning the history of Mickey Stevens, understanding what it could be utilized for. There's no plans on Mickey Stevens. It was put together so we can start the discussion, and therefore then it went to the planning, and it went to, and now we sit back and wait. And I know that also Mayor Picozzi has made a few statements on the fact that we have been discussing and talking
about. So when you say we, you mean members of our city government? When you say we?
Myself, Director Wiley, and some city historians, if you will.
Sure. I think that's it.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Are there any other questions or comments from members of the public? Mr. Dierko.
Philip Dierko, Ward 4. Just to clarify what Mr. Caselli was talking about, do we know the chemicals that are going to be removed from that site?
Historically, I'm sure there is identification of some contaminants. There was a site investigation report done, and we're going to add to that and expand it and expound upon it based on how you want to reuse the site. So we do know some, and we'll be learning more. I know I hate to be general about it, but.
Well, it's in order to put a price tag on something when you're dealing with hazardous waste, I assume that's what is at this facility. The cost could be exponential. much, much higher than anticipated. So just a point to bring up that that should be considered when you're looking at this. The right thing to do is clear it up, absolutely. But again, the cost, you have to weigh that against, you know, the results. So just to bring that point up. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Durkel. Yes. Yes, Mr.
You said that this planning stage and the environmental activities that'll go on there to help us set a course for the renovation of the place is being, the money's being derived from a grant we received 2 years ago. So I guess where I'm going with this is when you finish the remediation testing and you come up with a photograph of the land and where the problems are and where the soil is going to be removed from, are we going to be able to jump on the, I mean, is there an anticipation of us being able to get the funding? Because the funding for the, is the funding in place for actual renovation of this facility? Or is, or right now we're just dealing with the assessment of the property?
I will tell you this. If you're talking about like after the remediation is done moving forward, I would absolutely, there are millions and millions of dollars of federal funds for grants.
I understand that, but do we have one
recreational grant?
Do we have one in place right now? Because the reason I ask is because let's say that you do everything and you're ready to go, the map's set, you know where you want to put things, and we don't get to the money for 2 or 3 years. Do we have to go back out? Is there a sunset clause on our testing? Do we have to go back out again and do it over again because we didn't have our funding in place? You follow what I'm saying?
I pretty sure I do. Directed. All right, go ahead.
There's going to be that remedial action work plan is critical, along with the environmental land use restriction we'll have to create. That's going to be the blueprint that is going to be, you know, how we reuse the site. And then going forward in the next several fiscal years, we'll be literally budgeting for it and trying to, you know, pursue grants, perhaps put up more city money to try to build. This is obviously going to be a phased thing. You might build a field 1 year and then something else the next year, parking and so forth. So, yeah, that's probably the best way to answer.
So once we've done the remediation, we don't have to revisit the site. We'll have a blueprint for what we can build upon.
Unless the city wanted to deviate yet still again in future years from that remedial action work plan that we're working on now, right? I mean, if it's a change in administration, someone wants to put something else, change a phase of it, that might necessitate additional testing somewhere else, but we can't say that right now.
I'm just saying that my question would be if we identify the most difficult areas and want to make it so that we can put what we want where we want and just totally clean it, once it's clean, it's clean.
There are different capping methods, you know, some with clean fill. You can use geotextile barrier. You don't have to use as much depth of fill. Yeah. So all that relates to cost and what type of recreational amenity you want to put where. So,
and the funding is also include the cost of the soils that we're going to have to do. Is that a separate entity altogether? Is this just for testing this money?
This includes some soil import and disposal.
But maybe not all, depending on what the test is.
Maybe not what you need, depending on what you want to build, right?
So it's an ambitious, it's an important step. But going forward, it'll be an ambitious endeavor, money-wise and, you know, scope-wise. In the end, it'll be a great thing. But I just wanted to get some clarification on that. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other questions from members of the public? Thank you. Thank you, Director. Bid 2022-396 Alpha, fire apparatus repairs. This is found on page 25. Good evening, Christy.
Good evening. Public Works is requesting to award this bid to CNS Specialty Incorporated and OnScene LLC in the amount of $150,000 for a one-year period, beginning June 8th, 2022, expiring June 7th, 2023.
Thank you. I'm sorry, in an effort to save paper and the city a lot of money, my computer decided to reboot right when, all right, we're,